This is an I Am Listening podcast.
Seven Oaks District Councillor and Green Party member Sharni Manampairi and Laura Manston, and also Restore Britain County Councillor Maxine Fothergill, joined forces to try and raise the plight of the rural post offices and to find a solution. So these were councillors of basically completely polar opposite ends of the political spectrum, joining forces over the only truly unifying political issue, post offices.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast for our regular weekly bite-sized edition where we update you on the political goings-on up and down the county in the last week. Your regular host, Nikki White, is away this week, so instead I'm standing in for her. I'm Dan Essen, the local democracy reporter covering district and borough councils in Kent, and we'll be looking as well at what Robert Boddy has been covering over in Medway and what a colleague Simon has been seeing over in County Hall. First up, though, we'll look at what Rob's been doing in Medway. So this week, the council in Medway has voted to make an alteration to its council tax rules in hopes to avoid possible legal problems. The reason for the change comes following a High Court judgment that Three Rivers District Council over in Hertfordshire acted unlawfully when it counted transitional protection element payments, temporary payments when someone moves from the old system of benefits to universal credit, as income. In some cases, this money is being considered income means that recipients of universal credit were bumped up over the threshold, which made them ineligible for council tax reduction. And these people brought a legal challenge, which was determined in February. Medway, like many other places, has a standard arrangement, which means it could too fall foul of this situation, and it's not a particularly easy fix. In order to make changes to the council tax reduction scheme, authorities have to submit proposals by March 11th each year, and then it undergoes 12 months of consultation. Medway Council missed this year's deadline, meaning that it can only bring changes in March next year, which would only take effect the following year. They do have a faster option available, which will close off the possibility of legal challenge, and that's what Medway has chosen to do, which is to create a new class of person under which anyone who receives transitional protection element payments will have these extra funds discounted in their evaluations. Alongside protecting the council, councillors also say that this move simplifies the transition from legacy benefits to universal credit and is worth doing anyway. So over in County Hall, Simon's been taking a look at post offices of all things. The issue of the vulnerability of rural post offices has come to the fore once more. There are two branches inside the Morrison's Daily Convenience stores, and they're under threat because Morrison's wants to shut them down, one at New Ash Green and one at Longfield between Seven Oaks and Dartford. People in New Ash Green say that the largely older population there rely on the post office in the village shopping complex for banking, pensions, postage, paying bills, as well as everyday shopping essentials. One woman who lived in New Ash Green for 60 years told us that this is the hub of the community, the life of the village, where will people go if they can't come here? So for the last week, nearly 50 customers answered the cross-party call of local councillors to show solidarity for the service. Everyone heaps praise on the brilliant service they receive at the branch and the, quote, lovely, helpful people who run it day to day. This comes as the supermarket giant is shutting 100 of its convenience stores across the UK, citing rising costs such as higher national insurance contributions and wage increases and also general business losses. Also surprising, and then again not surprising, is that this was a cross-party political issue. Seven Oaks District Councillor and Green Party member Sharni Manampairi and Laura Manston, and also Restore Britain County Councillor Maxine Fothergill, joined forces to try and raise the plight of the rural post offices and to find a solution. So these were councillors of basically completely polar opposite ends of the political spectrum joining forces over the only truly unifying political issue, post offices. We've seen this quite a lot at County Hall since reform swept into power in May last year. All the opposition parties, left or right, seem to have found some kind of unified sense of purpose in their shared distaste for the leadership. As for the post offices, the landlords of the little shopping centre in New Ash Green are trying to find another outlet willing to take on a post office counter in their shop. And of course, we wish them very well in that.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
So at the district and borough level, I've been up to my eyes in licensing, as often happens. I've been to two separate meetings this week, but the more interesting one was that I revisited the licensing travails of Fusions, a nightclub in Margate, which I first saw get given the latest license in town way back last year. The venue is allowed to open till 3 a.m. and it sits in the basement level beneath another business, and above that there's some flats. Last year, the owner's first application for a late license was rejected on fire safety grounds, given that it's in a basement, but it was eventually granted last August, much to the chagrin of neighbours. Since then, however, the club has drawn considerable attention from council licensing enforcement officers and other relevant authorities, and this week found themselves hauled before Thanet District Council for a review of their licence. Officers told the meeting that the owners had consistently disregarded the conditions placed on their licence, particularly in relation to sound limits. They demanded that the club use sound limiters for their sound equipment, but at one time they found that this wasn't in use because they believed it was broken. Between the license being granted last year and now, they visited the club numerous times over and over and used recording devices to assess whether they were complying with those noise limits and found that they weren't. The debacle even led to a debate about whether they were violating their license by hosting MCs and DJs, as it's not clear under licensing law whether those really count as live music or not. And live music is something you require a separate license for, unlike just playing music over a speaker. Ken Fire and Rescue Service also weren't enthused. They attended the meeting to report that when they attended to visit the club, they found that staff weren't properly trained on fire alarm procedures and the like, which is particularly important given that the building is in a basement. The nightclub's owner, Wayne Johnson, insisted to the committee that the other nearby business, Bar Nothing, had in fact been violating their own licence, and his consultant suggested that their club was being victimised by the other business, which simply doesn't and has never wanted Fusion to open there. However, the committee gave this pretty short shrift, saying that what other businesses are doing isn't really relevant to the matter at hand. Some TDC licensing officers actually wanted to strip the club of its license outright, given their record of persistent violations of their conditions, but eventually ended up voting to suspend it for 3 months, pending the submission of new fire safety documents to the Fire and Rescue Service and of their proof of use of noise limiters and other compliance to the council. Given the alternative was them losing their license outright, the owner told me afterwards that they were actually very happy with this and described it as a win for them. All right, and that's all from us this week. Don't forget to keep up to date with all the latest politics news in the county at Kent Online. Just go to the homepage and click the politics tab at the top. You can also sign up for our weekly newsletter for all the latest gossip and views from the county at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters, or you'll get even more. And also don't forget to tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.